as sad as it is that so many people were impacted, the fact that they all were able to come together and expose something, an injustice that was happening, it's been a ripple effect.
Welcome to Forces in Fertility, a podcast bringing together celebrity guests, fertility specialists, reproductive health advocates, and all people interested in empowering themselves and others, creating the next generation of life. Hello, hello. Welcome to another podcast of Forces in Fertility. Today, I am joined by my co-founder, Tiffany Lewis. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, welcome, welcome. Today's topic, I'm actually slightly terrified to talk about.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
To spill some tea, some chisme about this topic here, because dang.
I need to vent it out, honestly.
Let's vent it out.
It's necessary.
Because boy, did this doctor do some damage.
Ooh, and it hit home.
It hit home. And honestly, the fact that he wasn't the only one, it is shocking. And for those of you in the audience who have not yet watched Our Father, there are some spoilers coming up. So if you haven't watched it, feel free to pause or don't, because maybe it'll be more interesting after you hear what we have to say and then you go and watch it. But just to give you a little overview about this crazy documentary, there is a fertility specialist. He is a reproductive endocrinologist. He was based in Indianapolis, Indiana. And he had a fertility clinic there where he, instead of using the sperm of the fathers who were coming to do IVF with their partners, their wives, whoever it was, he would then replace his own sperm with the father. And unbeknownst to anyone else, this happened for years and years and years, decades, in fact, until one day, when 23andMe, the savior, came out and exposed his butt. And what ended up happening to him, Tiff?
A slap on the wrist. I think honestly, like, that is what is so infuriating, is what he did, the emotional damage, everything with the lying and just the corruption that took place. And at the end of the day, he was already retired. And what happened to him? A slap on the wrist. I think it was like a $500 fine. Oh my God. I can't.
A $500 fine, and his medical license was revoked after he, by the way, he had already retired.
Exactly. So what does he care? He doesn't care. No, but this guy who was so renowned in his community, people looked up to him, admired him, and this entire time, he is going about his life not being impacted by the fact that he is lying and replacing his own sperm with people who have no idea that he's doing that, thinking that they're going in for IVF. And now years later, he's the dad.
And for me, I think it's the craziest part is thinking about, like, back then he thought he was so sly getting away with something like this because there wasn't any resources other than, of course, like a DNA test, which a family who went into a clinic to do IVF is not going to think to go do a DNA test.
No, before 23andMe, who was doing that?
No one. No. I mean, unless it was like Jerry Springer and it's like, you are not the father.
In this case, it's you are our father.
No! Dun, dun, dun. So I think after all of this, there was almost 100 children. I think it was like 94 children at the end of all of it that ended up all being, by the way, in a small community, which, how creepy. Like, you could have been dating your sibling, your half sibling, and you would have had no clue because your parents and their parents both went to the same specialist in that small town to go do IVF just because they had a little problem or they had a little bit of trouble getting pregnant. And all they needed was a little assistance.
Something that just really resonated with me and that I was so proud to see was it took that one determined woman who she went through 23andMe. Mm-hmm. Things started to kind of surface. She understood that something was not right here. And even though she was not getting a lot of assistance and a lot of people were just ignoring her, but it was like this determination, this relentlessness, and this commitment to not letting this continue mm-hmm. and really ended up getting this like force behind her
yeah.
of exposing the truth.
And I would say she is 100% by definition a force in fertility.
100%.
Because way to, despite all news outlets ignoring her, mm-hmm. all of the, you know, police stations that she reached out to, all the people that she tried to reach out to say, help me. This is not right. What happened to me is not right. Help me. And no one took this story. But of course, when you started to see that number triple and triple and triple, and now you're talking about like 94 people who are all born from this same sicko.
Having their whole life rocked underneath their feet. Like, just, I really can't imagine.
And yeah. think about those families who then 30 years later find out that the doctor who we trusted with our lives to help us create life for our family did such a thing.
It's horrible. It really is. And, you know, I just think that it's the power of numbers. And like you said, like mm-hmm. as sad as it is that so many people were impacted, the fact that they all were able to come together and expose something, an injustice that was happening, it's been a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And so now we're seeing a really big shift because they were able to bring this to the mainstream, you yep. know, and with that's with the good, the bad, the ugly. I think that that's part of our mission is just, we need to bring things to the surface. We need to talk about them. And that's how we stop this cycle of people being able to get away with things like this that are just absolutely mind-blowing.
And now more and more people are being, you know, exposed for being involved in things like this. And it just makes me feel really hopeful because if there is that fear, like mm-hmm. hopefully it all it takes is watch yourself, because now you don't have the option to hide anymore. People are no longer ashamed about the fact that they have to use fertility treatment in order to create a family, because one in four people potentially globally suffer from infertility. So maybe not yourself, but someone that you know could be struggling today.
Definitely.
Most likely. Mm-hmm. And so no longer are we in the days where we hide from these topics or we don't talk about it.
Really, really sad to see that so many doctors really are preying on hope mm-hmm. and selling hope
yep.
to people who are trying to create a family. This is something that is should be a human right. It's mm-hmm. so deeply rooted in all of us. And when people have been struggling, that's then preyed upon
yep.
previously. And so to see now, like you said, bringing it to the light, being brave, talking about it, normalizing it, mm-hmm. and stopping things like this from happening. I yeah. mean, it really, I think, was the most like gut-wrenching thing was that after being so brave, after being able to cultivate this, you know, unity, this force of understanding that this is something that was an injustice that we were faced with without our decision. We had nothing to do with this, but yet this is our reality. And then to go forward and not have any laws that
stop it,
punish the person that should be held accountable, that is wrong. That's so wrong. And it's really crazy that even now, after it's being exposed, that there is nothing legally that's stopping, you know, him from going to jail. That needs to change. And so thank goodness we're seeing it happen, but it is slow. I mean, it's what, now one state?
Yeah.
That has it where it is now illegal.
Colorado.
Yes. Thank you, Colorado.
But more are coming. I already know it. I mean, and that's the one thing about the fertility field is man, we are blessed with some awesome leaders in this space who take it upon themselves to go fix these injustices that happen. And we have people that are fighting, you know, day and night. They're speaking with Congress. I mean, you yourself went and did some time in front of Congress with Resolve and making it known that we won't stand for things like this. So I think the more that we do things like this, the more that we can avoid these situations. But something that really just stuck with me, and we talked about this actually in another podcast, is specifically the fact that one of the things that he says that was, by the way, his defense in doing something like this was that, well, there just weren't enough people who raised their hand to be a donor. And unfortunately, the intended father's sperm was not viable. So then I, as the savior, mm-hmm. had to step in and help this family. That was sort of the first thing that he said that was his defense, which we know to be super not true.
Which as soon as we went out and we started bringing awareness to this, the amount of incredible people that were willing to participate, to help others, and to get involved was incredible. And so I'm grateful to know that that now is out in the world and yep. that that can never be used as an excuse again. People need to be held accountable. There are so many individuals. We're at a beautiful time right now, culturally, where people, especially young people, are so open and willing to do something that gives purpose. And mm-hmm. it's the complete opposite of someone like that. So
absolutely. And we've been so blessed. Like you said, the people that have taken the time to reach out and apply to be a part of All Kind and the community here. I mean, that number of people alone, I think we can help tons of clinics across the US, if not globally. And it makes me have hope for the future of fertility, and that all these people individually, I consider to be forces in fertility, because each one of you who takes the time to stand up to fight against these things, whether you are talking on Congress as a leader in this space, whether you are a donor or a surrogate that is putting your time and body and effort and life and love into this process, we are so grateful. And the community as a whole is so grateful for the time and effort that you're putting. So thank you for listening to us this week as we vent out a bit of our frustration about Our Father, the documentary. If you haven't watched it, please, please go watch it and be frustrated with us.
Reach out, DM us so that we'll vent with you. We get it. Trust us.
We get it.
We're happy to talk it out with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I hope more people come out with their stories and just share what it's like being donor conceived and some of the things that need changing in this space. Because, you know, as two people who've started a company in this space, we're super receptive and we don't want stories like this to continue. So we're, again, open to hearing your journeys, your stories, your hopes for the future as well. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Forces in Fertility. Talk to you next week.